We're going to get started in a few minutes. Those that are sitting over here, I would recommend if you want to, there looks like there's open seating over here. Come over here because we have a really nice slideshow, which we're going to show here. And it was several minutes, and that might be a little uncomfortable. So. Welcome, everybody. It's very encouraging to see how many lives Virginia being affected, and I stand as one of them. And I'm excited to see all of you here, seeing good old friends, maybe new friends, and we wish it was under different circumstances, but there is also joy knowing that Virginia's in it, running and having the time of her life. Of the new life, and amen to that for sure. And this time we're all going to do, this is really for us to remember her and how she's affected us, how she's really changed us, and how she was changed too. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But first we're going to stand as we're going to sing some songs together, and the band's going to lead us in a couple hymns, some of her favorites. There we go.
I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. Many are they that say of my soul, in God. Many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. For thou, O Lord, art a shield gets me round about.
Dissolve like snow, the sun Thank you that we can all gather here to celebrate the life of Virginia Piang. I think of the verses in 2 Corinthians 12 where Paul is asking for the thorn to be taken from his flesh. And the Lord tells him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is perfected in weakness. Virginia was the picture. She was a picture of strength in weakness. Her body was frail, but every other part of Virginia was so strong. And stronger than I don't think I will ever be in my life. So we just thank you, Lord, for this time together that we can celebrate her. In Jesus' name, amen. You can all have a seat now.
First Corinthians 15:50-58. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
One of the things about photographs, you can, even though that was a 7-minute presentation, it's hard to summarize a whole person's life, but that did it pretty well. And it's always exciting to see how many people Virginia affected and how many are now a part of her life or were part of her life. And we have just a snippet for you now, just some people that wanted to share a few things with you. And as you leave this time tonight, I was thinking, you know, maybe you don't get a chance to share from up here, but maybe you could be, as you're out there, or even afterwards, tomorrow, throughout the week, is, hey, I knew a person named Virginia, and here's how she affected my life, and here's why she was important to me. So with that, I'm going to just invite those that were sharing to come on up and just give us a snippet.
Okay, everybody take a deep breath. Okay. That was more for me, I think, than you. I'm Robin Claypatch. I have served with Virginia. This was going to happen. She didn't affect my life at all. Sorry. Okay. It is a great honor for me to be able to share a few thoughts with you this evening. I first met Chris and Virginia in 1989. I just graduated college, moved up here, started going to the church, and I served with them here until they moved in 2010 to West Lafayette. For several years, shortly after I met the Biangs, every week at church, Virginia would bring me her grocery list. She was at a point where she couldn't grocery shop anymore, and she had a pre-printed list, and she would circle the things that she needed that week. And I would go to the grocery store on Sunday afternoon and take the groceries to the family that evening. And that's really how my friendship with her and the Biang family began, by having that opportunity to serve them for several years. Throughout the years that I knew Virginia, I was blessed beyond measure by our friendship. Part of the reason that she was so dear to me was that, as I came to find out over the years, we were actually very similar in a lot of ways, not the least of which that we were both simple farm girls that the Lord transplanted to this basically human jungle of Chicagoland. And I think for both of us, we might as well have gone to Africa. Okay, it was pretty much the same assignment from the Lord. We both enjoyed growing flowers, and as you saw in a couple of the photos, doing jigsaw puzzles. And we have similar personalities, and so we shared strengths and we shared challenges, and we tended to process life from a similar viewpoint. And the Lord really used those similarities to help me just feel really more comfortable with Virginia than anyone else I had ever encountered up until that point. And I always felt very comfortable and very understood in my friendship with Virginia. And as my relationship with her grew, I really saw how she lived her daily life by God's word. There are many verses from the Bible that I could have chosen to talk about today, which would represent her life and her faith. But the ones that the Lord put on my heart were from Psalm 123, verses 1 and 2. That says, "To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he is gracious to us." These verses could have been written about Virginia. She was a model of depending on God's grace, not only for her physical needs, especially later in life as the MS really just ravaged her body, but also emotionally. Because she knew that this grace from God had been given to her freely, she freely invested her time in sharing that grace with others. She selflessly spent hours and hours with me, as well as many others in this room, sharing God's word, praying with us, being a friend, and helping us grow in our faith. She saw many of us at our very worst. But no matter the amount of pain, ugliness, anger, or confusion we were struggling with, she never wavered in doing as much as she could to help us navigate our way to the feet of Jesus and receive the help that we needed. She was a stabilizing force in some of my most rocky moments and a wealth of wisdom and understanding for the challenges of being a godly wife and mother. Although I tried to come up with a personal story, like one story to kind of sum up the impact that she had on my life, I just kept coming back to not any one thing, but just years of steady and caring friendship, the friendship that she offered me, and that was real, and it was lasting, and it was a very great treasure. Through Virginia's faithful investment in my life, the Lord opened up a whole new world to me where I could learn to live by faith and not by my own strength and understanding, just like she did. The older I get, the more I appreciate that gift. I'm eternally grateful for our friendship and for her example of living God's word and for her commitment to helping others get to know the Savior that she followed.
Good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Linda Staninger, and I also got to know Virginia when I was here in Chicago. There were three women who have had the most long-term input into my life. They are my mom, Ruth Talcott, and Virginia Biang. My mom and dad gave me a solid foundation of a loving family and respect for God's word. As a child, I had a desire to follow Jesus' instruction to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, but I had a lot to learn about what that meant. When I moved from California to New Jersey, I met Dave and Ruth Talcott and got involved with the Great Commission Campus Ministry at Rutgers University. Ruth showed me what it really looked like to live according to the Bible in many practical ways, sometimes illuminating verses I knew and often introducing verses that I had never before considered actually obeying. As a result, I was much more grounded in Scripture, no longer a child, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. I met Chris and Virginia Biang when I was in the Chicago suburbs for a summer and started attending Glen Arbor Community Church. The verse I most associate with Virginia is Titus 2:3-5, which instructs older women to encourage the young women to love their husbands, love their children, be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Even though Chris liked to say that women weren't older until any children they had were grown, Virginia encouraged me in these areas while her children were young and still at home. The first time I went to the Biang's house, the whole family was carving pumpkins. I don't think I had talked too much to Virginia before then, and I don't think the kids had met me at all, but there I was sitting at their kitchen table in the middle of their family activity. The second time I went to the Biang's house, Virginia asked me to tell her the story of how I had made a decision to trust Jesus as my Savior. Those first two visits were very typical of all my future visits with Virginia. She welcomed me into her life, and she cared about my walk with the Lord. There were quite a few major transitions in my life when I moved to Illinois. At first, I was in a new area with a new church. I was moving out of campus ministry to community ministry, which for me was a difficult transition. Before long, I was a new wife, which was not so difficult, but still a major transition. After that came the transitions of becoming a new mom, seeing Greg recognized as a pastor, and starting our homeschool journey. Through all of these, Virginia was available to share her wisdom and experience with me. At first, it was me by myself driving from Glen Ellen way out to Prince Crossing Road in West Chicago. It seems so far away. During my first year at Glen Arbor, Virginia invited me to come over and help her homeschool. I was surprised at the time, but now that I've had experience homeschooling my own children, I am astounded that by her generosity to incorporate another person into her family's established routine of homeschooling. Later, when I had young children, I would load the kids into the van and drive the 25 minutes out to the house on High Lake Road. While I met with Virginia, the Vian kids would often keep track of my kids. I'm not sure how much of a sacrifice it was for the Biangs to play Super Smash Brothers with my kids every other week. I do know that the number of Star Wars Lego sets in our basement was significantly influenced by the number of Star Wars Lego sets in the Biang basement. Virginia and I often sat at her kitchen table under the glass hummingbirds hanging from the light fixture, or in any other room with lots of windows and a view of the live birds outside. One time, when the Biangs had been studying God's creation in school, Virginia was wondering what the Garden of Eden would have looked like, since even now that our world was no longer perfect, it was still so beautiful. Most often when we met, Virginia would ask how I was doing, and she would always share a verse she had read that morning or a promise she was claiming. When the Biangs were in the midst of selling their home and building a new one, Virginia found a promise from 2 Chronicles 20:17 in the New Living Bible. "But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory." She was encouraged by that verse because it was a challenge keeping a house ready to show to prospective buyers when 6 or 7 family members were home all day. Now, I know that we're each supposed to get our own promises from our own Bible reading, but Virginia found such good ones that I often borrowed them. I claimed that stand still and watch promise a few years later when Greg and I were selling our first home. I remember another conversation from right before I went to my first regional conference for pastors and their wives. I told Virginia that I was feeling intimidated about being with the other women because they would all be so much more spiritually mature and together than I was. Virginia just looked at me and said, "You can just banish that thought right now." It was a really good reminder to me not to put another person on a pedestal because we're all on the same journey together. Virginia's example of how to live as a pastor's wife made a big impression on me. She never took on the responsibility of being a co-pastor with Chris or the church secretary. Her first and foremost desire was to be Chris's wife, supporting him in his work, and to be a good mother for their children. She taught Sunday school, not because she was trying to live up to someone else's expectations of what a pastor's wife should do, but because she loved the children and wanted to teach them about Jesus. After Greg and I chose to start homeschooling our children, Virginia strongly supported our decision. It never mattered to her that I chose a completely different curriculum than what she used. She just encouraged me to stay the course for the direction that the Lord had given to our family. When we talked about raising children, she often reminded me that saying to a child, "Would you like to set the table now?" is not the same thing as saying, "Please set the table now." She said that a lot. Before I had children, I thought that I had a lot of things, had things reasonably under control in my life. But being a mom revealed all kinds of things that I didn't like in my heart and my behavior. Virginia was very patient with my stubborn insecurities and my mixed up interpretations of scripture. We prayed together about many different areas, difficult areas, and God used those three-way conversations with Jesus, as Virginia liked to call them, to change my heart and transform the way I pray. I'm quite sure that my husband and my children are much better off because of the time I got to spend with Virginia. So thank you, Chris. And to Mike, Tom, Tim, Teen, and Bob, thank you for sharing your mom with me.
Hi. So as you can see, Virginia's impacted so many lives, so many women especially. She's impacted and built into the lives of so many. It's just incredible. So I'm just one of those many, and I will tell you a little of my story and how she affected me. I met Chris in Virginia in 1984 when I was 21 years old and a student at Michigan State. At the time, they had two children, so that gives you an idea of how long ago it was. I was new to the Great Commission Church there that they had helped to start several years earlier, and I was beginning to grow as a new Christian. Chris was a pastor there. He and Virginia opened their home, which was right across from the campus, for small group discussions and meals, and they were always so welcoming. It was fun getting to know them and their little family. A few months later, Virginia received her diagnosis of MS. And I watched as she grappled with that reality and what it might mean for the future. She humbly submitted to God's plan for her life and the suffering and the uncertainty it entailed without anger or complaining. She reminded me of Mary, who said, you know, let it be done unto me as you have said. Her unshakable trust in God was evident. She even trusted God to have more children, viewing them as gifts from him, and believing that he could help her and provide people to help with the many practical tasks in life. So as our friendship grew, I was able to help her out and serve in various ways around their home and by babysitting. And that way, I also got to spend time with Virginia, sharing life, asking questions, and watching how she interacted with her husband and children. Coming from a divorced home, I was fearful about getting married and someday because I hadn't seen it work too well. So their marriage gave me hope about what God could do in that regard. One of the things that most impressed me about her was how she always treated her children with respect, even as preschoolers. She disciplined them and she made them obey, but not with harshness, with gentleness, always respecting them as people. She never made derogatory comments about them or to them, and she was patient and attentive with their needs and their interruptions. I saw, too, what a hard worker she was and how faithful and disciplined. Virginia got up early, around 5:30 every morning when her kids were young, to meet with the Lord before they woke up. Later, then, when I had my own kids and I was tempted to make excuses that, oh, I don't have time, I'm too tired, I would think of Virginia. And so, had no excuse. Her deep love for God and his word was foundational to everything else in her life. It was literally her lifeline. She memorized scripture and she often shared it. Here's a quote from an article that she wrote in 2001 on persevering in trial. She said, "The most important thing to remember is that we must hold on to the word of God. If we were to neglect or ignore it, we would soon forget the truth and start believing circumstances instead of God. Over the years, God has shown me many verses that have given me strength and hope. I memorize them and hold them ever in my heart so that when times of discouragement come, I have an ever-present reminder of the truth." Probably one of the biggest things I learned from her was the joy and contentment that could be found in serving Christ in the home as a wife and a mother. She inspired me through her example and conversations we had about how a woman at home could be an integral and irreplaceable part of building God's kingdom. Even more, she clearly felt it was an honor to do so. She loved her life. She told me once, back when her kids were young, "I have a great life. There are probably many people who would love to have my life." And I was kind of taken aback because, you know, people like to complain about their lives, but not Virginia. She was like, "I have a great life." I know she considered it the greatest privilege to be married to Chris and to support him in his life and work for the Lord. She always, always spoke very highly of him. One of her most outstanding traits, in fact, was that she did not gossip or slander that I can remember, nor would she listen to it. I always knew that whatever I shared with her would be safe. She was an excellent listener, kind and empathetic, not quick to pass judgment. If she did give advice, it was grounded in Scripture. As her children were older and she had more time, she would invite women over individually to visit, as Robin talked about, and to encourage them. Those times of prayer and sharing are precious memories. Virginia was a gracious woman and a thankful one. Rejoice always, in everything give thanks. These were words she lived by. She chose to give thanks even when it was hard. She looked for reasons to be thankful in difficult circumstances. I remember her telling me once how, because she had MS, God was making her more compassionate to her and understanding of people who were sick, because prior to her having MS, she was hardly ever sick, and she didn't really understand what it was like. So she found something to be thankful for, even in her MS. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, Proverbs 15:13. How true this was in Virginia's life. We've all experienced her radiant smile and her overflowing joy. Coming to visit her was always so great because she was always so glad to see you. You know, I've heard that there's two kinds of people. There's people that say, "Here I am." And there's people that say, "There you are." She was definitely a "there you are" kind of person. Virginia was probably the most confident woman I have ever known. And she was the least prideful. She was not confident in her own abilities and strength, but in God, because she really knew and believed how much he loved her and that everything he allowed in her life was ultimately for her good. She made the choice to trust him, no matter what, and to focus not on her trials and suffering, but on eternity. She saw herself as a precious and beloved daughter of God. Yet she was humble as she never lost sight of her need for and her dependence on Christ and the grace and mercy that had saved her, forgiven her sins, and made this beautiful relationship with God possible. I'm so thankful for her life and for her friendship and all that God taught me through her. I think my friend Amy said it best in her tribute to Virginia. She said to know her was to know God's love.
Good evening. My name is Lori Gehring, and I too was one of the privileged ones who knew Virginia and whose life was deeply affected by that relationship. Not too long ago, I was reading through the book of Acts in my quiet times and ran across a verse that I hadn't read for a long, long time. But as I read it, I just thought, oh, it's Virginia. It was as Paul was in Ephesus speaking to the leaders there and kind of making his farewell as he was getting ready to leave to Jerusalem. And it says here, this is what he said. He said, "The Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." From the moment that Virginia was diagnosed with MS, she was being warned that bonds and afflictions would await her. But like Paul, Virginia just demonstrated over and over again that she didn't count her own life as dear to herself. Instead, her desire was to have the attitude of Christ, who in the garden told his father, "Please, please, Father, if you can remove this cup," but then ended up saying, "But not my will, but thine be done." One of the main ways that Virginia demonstrated this attitude to me was how often she refused to dwell in the land of self-pity and discouragement.
From my perspective, humanly speaking, she had tons of reasons why she should feel discouraged or why she would feel sorry for the circumstances she had. But she had learned, she really had, that the will of her father was not for her to focus on her circumstances, but that she should keep her eyes on her Lord Jesus. And she did that and always challenged me to do that as well. I remember Virginia telling me one time, opening up about thinking about the day when she wouldn't be able to play the piano anymore. And she said, you know, that's going to be really hard for me. but, you know, I'm sure God will give grace and all this. Well, that day came, and it was hard, and it was sad. And she cried. And she spent some time on that day just struggling with God. But then, at the end of the day, she got to the point where she decided once again, it's not my will, Father, but thine be done. And she didn't count her life as dear to herself by God's grace. And never again, after that day, did I ever hear her complain about her lack of ability to play the piano. She saw and trusted in the goodness of God, and she constantly challenged me to do the same. In God's strength, she finished the course and the ministry which she received from the Lord. And I wanted to share one more thing, because I think Virginia would want me to. It seems like God always prefers to bring people together, intertwine their hearts and their lives, and then use that unit through which he gets his work done and receives glory. That's what the church is. It's people that he's brought together and placed the members, each one as he's desired. And through this bond of unity and love, he can reach the world. And in the same way, a family is a mini picture of that. Yeah? Virginia was always thankful for the family that God had put her in and for the family that he had given her. All of the Bovenmeyers, all of the BAs. From the time that she had her disease diagnosed, they shared in that burden. They carried the burden with them, and each one of them know what it is to experience the bonds and the afflictions that are associated with that disease. But through the years, their willingness to be devoted to her in love, their willingness to serve her and to support her, coupled together with her willingness to always work at making right choices in the Lord. That was what set the stage for God to be able to work through her and to help her finish her goal. Her reach the goal. And she was so grateful. She was so thankful and felt so privileged to have each of those people. And so when I say Virginia is one of my spiritual heroes, what I'm really saying, and she would agree with this so wholeheartedly, I know, what I'm really saying is that the Biang family, the Bovenmeyers, they're my spiritual heroes. Because God put these people together to experience this thing together. And it's a beautiful thing. It is very, very, very clear to me.
When I look at Virginia, I'm going to step away from this line. It's very clear to me when I was with Virginia and went through just years of this with her, or we'd say in Powhatan, the talks that we would have. It was so clear. She saw it and she helped me see it. It really is true that God works all things, and every aspect of life together for good. And it's through that that he has received so much glory. So thank you. I'm really thankful for Virginia.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Chris. I used to be married to Virginia, and I was wondering if you guys could humor me a little bit, because it's getting a little emotional in here, and if we could do the slideshow backwards. I noticed I was gaining weight over the years. I was thinking maybe. I'm at about a 24-pack. I used to be a 6-pack. I just tried to tell you. So telling a joke will make it easier for me to talk. People are wondering how I'm doing, and I am doing relatively better than I should be, partly because a lot of you have been encouraging me and praying. I have a friend here somewhere, Rick. I have a lot of friends here, but one is Rick. Is Rick Beamer here somewhere? Where are you at, Rick? Rick has kind of helped me through this journey to talk about grief and sorrow and loss, and for years this has been going on. It's not just this week, and it's really helped me a ton. I'm not through with it yet, but things are making progress. I'm very encouraged about Virginia. I don't even know if they have pianos in heaven. If they do, I know they're in tune, and she's playing on one of them. Yeah, so, and she's probably elbowing everybody else out of the way so she could. But I wanted to, these gals that just gave like little slices of life wouldn't have had a slice of life in with Virginia to talk about if it wasn't for a few people here that I want to just say thank you. Dave and Dawn over here. Dave was the one that shared Christ with his sister over and over and over, and she finally became a Christian. Dawn and her roommate, Peg, some people call her Margot, who's back here, did a lot to build her into her life in her early years as a Christian, which I think really had a lot to do with her growing in Christ and influencing all of us. So I think I got a good deal, and I wanted to talk about what kind of good deal she was. Before we get to that, I want to thank a few people. There's a lot of you that have helped, but I know recently Heather has helped a lot. Kim has helped a lot. Amy has been, you know, these were caregivers for Virginia, and it was just a privilege to have you all sharing, and then others, there are too numerous to mention, have been a help, and we appreciate it. I want to share Proverbs 31. You know, pastors have to get up here and talk. We'll have a brief intermission. We'll do an offering. And we'll get back. But I was thinking of Proverbs 31. I want to just share some verses and then little snippets about Virginia. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I would like to speak in praise of Virginia and her God, just like these gals have praised here. 35 years ago, a few weeks into our marriage, I found that what I was expecting to have happen was not happening. And I'd read all these books about marriage. I thought, when is the trouble starting? It didn't start. And I kept thinking, what's wrong with our marriage that we're not having trouble? You know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Well, I don't know. We were both from the same planet, I guess. But so I told Virginia she was my gold brick. And the more troubles or issues we had where I scratched deep into that gold, it was still gold. And it wasn't plating. And a lot of times people are plated. But she was all the way through. And I just think of that and I just go, wow, what a deal I got to be married to her. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And I think she was from God. God had found me an excellent wife. Virginia, as I think Kathy shared, got up way too early for a normal person to get up and used to make Mike stay in bed till 7 o'clock and showed him on the clock, this is what time you can get out of bed, but I'm having a quiet time, don't bother me, and stay in bed. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. But she prepared for her children's day. She worked hard in her own relationship with Christ. She almost always had a verse to share. In Proverbs it says, she rises while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Last year, when she came home from the hospital with little ability to swallow and her tongue just didn't work, she had lost all her strength in her torso and most of her arm strength was gone. They recommended hospice in December, which means you have about 6 months and you prepare for death. And I was thinking, I'm not into this hospice stuff. Are you? And she goes, no, I don't want to die in 6 months. I go, good, then let's work hard. You know, on your, and she worked hard on her exercises and therapy and regained the use of her swallowing. She gained another year. She worked hard to regain much of what she had lost. Proverbs 31 says, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She had little weights that she would lift. Virginia suffered much loss in this life, her ability to run, walk, so I need to tell another joke. play piano, all added up to major loss. Yet she smiled at the future. Her hope was in God, that someday she would get a new and working body. She wrote, and I think it might be in the bulletin, how she would run again. Proverbs 31 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. And she did. Many have remarked how she always had a smile and an encouraging thought for them. She influenced many with her life and words. While in the hospital 2 weeks ago, the nurses all remarked about how sweet her smile was, even when she couldn't talk anymore. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Proverbs 31, 28, and I'd like her children and wives to stand up. Proverbs 31, 28, if you guys agree with this, just say amen. If you don't agree with it, we'll have a talk. We didn't prepare this, so this is all new to these kids. Like, it says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also. Amen. So most of us say that. Okay, amen. And you may sit down. It was very nice. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. And I think with Virginia, that's pretty obvious. Virginia has done nobly. I just want to thank God for what she's been in my life and in yours. In your bulletin now, there's something that's missing because we just added it a few minutes ago. And that's Robin and Adina are going to sing a song. And these two have been singing together for, I hope you can hold together. And Adina used to live with us a long time ago. And so it's a special treat. Thank you. You can clap.
loud. Before we start, I just want to say that, well, maybe I can't. when I lived with him, you know, it was bad enough seeing Chris in his underwear once. Oh, I was not supposed to talk about that. Anyway. but Virginia, I saw a real Christian family, even though the kids are evil to me sometimes. and it was something I had only seen one other time, and that's when I lived down in Champaign. But between Chris and Virginia, I can't tell you how many times they saved my life because of their goodness and kindness and the fact that they didn't mind living with a couch potato. So Robin and I are going to sing I Love You, Lord, or try. And we're going to do it three times. And the third time, why don't you all sing with us? Okay.
Okay, thank you.
That everyone else had introduced themselves except myself. And I'm Greg Sanger. I'm one of the pastors here. I've known the Yang family since I was 19, which was just a few years ago. I have to admit that many times one of the things that impressed me was their family and how I had never really seen a Christian family worked together so well, and it really impressed me. It really pressed upon me such a way I wanted to think, if I have a family, I want it to be like this one. And unfortunately, no. What was great about that, hopefully, see, my children are watching now. They're going, you better say something nice. I think a lot of the principles I learned there from them, from her, are in our family today. And Linda shared some of them even now. I wish first to change, if I'm going to read my monologue, I have to change glasses, which shows again that 19 years was just a few years ago. I want to read an excerpt from the email announcement that was made by Dave Bovenmeyer, Virginia's brother who's here, shortly after she went to be with the Lord. He says, In December of 1975, I left my very sick son with my wife and her parents and took Virginia to the God's Will for Your Life conference in Colorado. Because I so greatly wanted God to get a hold of her heart for him and his kingdom. That happened in a huge way, and in 1977, she moved with us to East Lansing to plant a church there. Peg Moore, who's here today, who was also on the team, and her roommate says, "I have never in my life seen someone grow so much in Christ in such a short time and then remain so steadfastly faithful even after." She truly was a vital part of the work God did in establishing Riverview Church. Virginia struggled with multiple sclerosis for 29 years, gradually losing more and more motor function each year. And although this was extremely hard for her, she remained joyful, even radiant, faith-filled, and giving all she had to the Lord and to his people. That statement, "even radiant," struck me as, if I had to pick a word for Virginia, it would be radiant. It was in East Lansing, when I was a much younger self of me, that when I first met Virginia and was struck, I was awestruck by her joyfulness, excitement, and energy as I have ever met very few before. I would say she was definitely a conduit by which joy and power of Christ and her faith in him showed through. It was that example that I saw that made me also turn to Jesus and follow him ever since. Was this radiance because she was just naturally happy all the time, an effervescent part of her personality? I think she would say no. Her family might say many things. Maybe it wasn't not always that way. She would say, "I believe it was because of her relationship with Jesus Christ." Dave also said in his announcement that he recalled the times before her transformation, and I quote, "I remember sending her two books for Christmas in the early 1970s, Mere Christianity and Live Now, Brother. I should have sent something in addition to the books," as she later told me that she thought, "Dave, couldn't you send me something more personal than this?" But she put the books on the shelf, and when she encountered some devastating life problems, she found the books, read them, and put her trust in Christ and gave her life to him. That is a much shortened version of everything that has happened. However, it describes what happens to many of us. For one reason or another, we turn to Jesus Christ and are changed. And for Virginia, it was a noticeable, radical change for her. She became a different person. Not changed from hard or difficult times, but one who has radiated joy and peace despite those things. In Psalm 34:5, it says, "They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed." That is what happened to her. She looked to Jesus and became radiant in her joy and love, and shined and affected everyone who came in contact with her. It was just her today. She became ever radiant with the hope and truth that was in her. As Peg Moore said, that she had not seen anyone grow, transform so much, so quickly, and have that transformation remain. That faith and truth and joy she shared with everyone she could, because it had changed her so. Despite the MS, despite whatever the world threw at her, as many have attested to today, she would attest to you how she was free. Free? How can that be? Trapped in a deteriorating body, homeschooling 5 kids, and taking care of Chris. But she was free of her sin. Who freed her? Jesus Christ crucified, arose again from the dead. Do we need freedom from our sin? Only if we want to be truly free. You see, You can be free to walk and to talk and run about, but not be free in your soul. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, "For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" The answer is there is nothing he can give. The peace that surpasses understanding, that made Virginia even ever radiant with joy, can be yours. And if it is not already. She understood that we cannot get to God by ourselves. She tried. I've tried. All our knowledge and effort and good deeds fall short. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But there's a second part of that verse that brings hope and joy, can make us radiant too. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is this sad truth, but the glorious answer through Christ Jesus. He became sin on the cross for us, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, what does that mean practically right now? Virginia would say, as I would say about myself, we've made a decision to place our trust in Him for our eternal destiny. And I said, "There is nothing I could do." Virginia said, "There's nothing she could do. She could do or give or do or say or exchange for her soul," and then placed her trust in Him who bought it for her and me and all of you with the blood and proved His ownership through His resurrection. She would and has in the past with some of you here said, "This gift can be yours too." Realize you can't get to God on your own. "No one comes to the Father but through me," Jesus said. So place in your trust in Him even now. Believe with your heart that Jesus Christ paid for your sin and rose again. Virginia believed she would run again in His presence, not because she was good enough or through the power of positive thinking, but because of who she placed her faith in. I believe she is free and running again in heaven right now. And her wish would be for you to run with her. What would she share with you, if she could, about all of this? Well, we have it right here in your bulletins today. If I could close with this quote, and you can turn inside. It says, she says, "All people have crisis in their lives. Some are minor, while others are very traumatic. I have told you about how a relationship with God is helping me through a crisis in my life. He wants to do the same for you. Please consider turning your life over to God and accepting His forgiveness. You will never be sorry." VA. She's not sorry, and I believe free and joyous and running and is still ever radiant. I'm going to pray, and if you wish to pray with me, you can. And you can even accept this even now into your own heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for how we can remember Virginia, that she's with you even now. And we praise you for that, and we thank you. We believe that. And Lord, I place my trust in you, what you did on the cross, that I can't get to heaven. I can't be with Virginia on my own. I need your blood. I need what you did. I can't do it. And I place my trust in that. I place my trust in what you did 2,000 years ago, and that you rose again from the dead, and that you proved you were God. And I just accept that, and I ask that, is there anyone here that wants to accept that, that they would in their heart and place their trust in you? With this, we pray in your name. Amen. Virginia also wrote an article that we're going to have read for you. And Gracie McLean is going to read that. And hopefully she remembers the title, because I cannot. So, Gracie, if you can come up. Thank you.
Well, everybody, we're lucky that the title's printed on the page.
Yes.
So, He is still there. Several years ago, I remember listening to a song with the following lyrics. "But I welcome the change like I welcome the rain, for nothing has grown in a long, long time. I don't remember who sang it, but since I'm a person who is oftentimes not excited about change, I appreciated the song. I have found, however, that without changes in life, we become stagnant and do not grow. The principle has become apparent once again in my life. Last fall, we suddenly found that we had a virtual empty nest. Our oldest son was married, the two next oldest boys had rented their own house, and the youngest son had moved to Kansas. This happens a lot. Only my daughter was at home, and she worked full-time and was busy most evenings. Suddenly, I found myself with hours of time by myself in quietness, and I will admit that I did not like it very much. When the kids were all young, I remember longing for some peace and quiet, but when I actually got to that quiet time in life, I felt like I was living in a desert. As the oldest child in a family of five, there was much companionship and activity in my childhood home. Since I had homeschooled all my own children until their mid-teens, there was always noise, chatter, and music around the house. The sudden quietness and time by myself seemed very foreign. As I was praying about this with a few tears, God reminded me of his promise in Isaiah 43:19. I will even make rivers in the desert. In Isaiah 51:3, the Lord will comfort Zion. His wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. It helped me a lot to start looking for the streams of water in my desert place. When I started to look, I actually found some. I no longer have to be so rigid with the use of my time. I enjoy being more relaxed and moving at a slower pace. When my husband wants to talk, I'm not distracted by what I need to do next. My quiet times are longer and fuller. My small communications with God are becoming more numerous, and I've even started doing some memorizing. What a shock. Along with this, I'm not as limited in the times I can meet with and encourage others. In Psalm 106:24, God talks about how the Israelites despised the pleasant land. It was very easy for me to want to go back to the way things used to be and despise the pleasant land that God was giving. The Israelites kept wanting to return to Egypt and would not enter the promised land. How often I am like that. I keep looking back with longing to a time and a place that is comfortable and familiar, rather than moving on and embracing a new and unfamiliar land. And now, after 21 years in Chicago and 13 years in our present home, we are going to move to West Lafayette, Indiana, Purdue University. What a stretch this is for someone who doesn't even like to have her furniture changed in the living room. As we've prayed about this, God has been very faithful to show his truth. Psalm 84:5 says, "Blessed are the people whose heart is set on pilgrimage." 29 years ago, I linked my life with Chris to journey with him wherever God sent us. Somehow, when we got to Chicago, particularly after we built a house, my heart forgot about the journey. I settled in and was content to stay. However, now that the kids are adults, God wants me to pack up my tent and continue with the pilgrimage. As a result, he promises blessing on my life. It is difficult to think about leaving our present house. We built this house to accommodate my physical challenges, and it is easy to think about staying in this house that meets my needs. But Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs, just as God has provided here, so he will provide in the next place as well as any place it will be in the future. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Matthew 6:32. Most importantly, as my life circumstances change around me, I have been especially comforted by contemplating the stability of God. No matter what happens, he is there. No matter what changes occur, he is still there on the other side of the change, immovable, constant, and eternal. Even after the biggest change of all, death, he will be there. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." And also in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. My situation, multiple sclerosis and a scooter full-time, is a little different from others. My ability to get out and interact in the gospel is somewhat limited. Our plan in the future may include having room for college-age women to live with us, where I can continue to have relationships and a place to serve. So we are choosing to open up the nest once again. What will be the result of all these changes and transitions? He promises blessings, provision, pleasant lands, and his never-ending presence and help. Psalm 73:26 says, "God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is what we inherit and what we will get in the end. When we die, we will not be sorry about the changes he has brought into our lives." That's it.
test. And there, much, thank you, Earl.
We're going to sing a song that was one of our mom's favorite songs. I believe it was played at their wedding, though I wasn't there, so whoever was there will have to vouch for it. But this is one of her favorite hymns.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my life. And be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou mine and thou only, be first in my heart. High King of heaven, thy treasure thou art. And high King of heaven, thy victory won. May I reach heaven's shores, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler. And be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light.
Let's all stand up for one last song. We're going to fittingly end with the Lord's Prayer.
For this time we could remember Virginia Bang, we can remember how much she filled our lives with joy, how she was radiant, how she changed us, how through your blood in her life, how you changed her, and how that has affected all of us. And we do praise you that we can remember, praise you for how much you've been here even today. And we ask that you'd just bless our travels as we go home, that we'd remember and take what she's done and use her example in our own lives as we interface with others. In your name we pray. Amen. So I also says I'm supposed to have instruction for you. My instruction would be don't rush out all at once. There is just kind of some narrow passageway, so try to keep those clear. We have also some refreshments for you, so please stick around, mingle, get to know old friends and new. And Dean, is there anything else I can think of or remember? Okay. All right. Thank you again so much, and have a safe trip home. Amen.